Hi, this is Jeff Hammond from Fox and Fox Sports 1, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line, honored to have one of the all-time great crew chiefs in NASCAR history and one of America's favorite voices as part of the incredible team at NASCAR on Fox, the one and only Jeff Hollywood Hammond. Jeff, welcome to WGN.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I hope everything's going great up in your part of the world today. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day here in the Carolinas, finally.
Well, I know you guys have had a lot of challenges, you know, not only with Hurricane Florence that hit, a direct hit in that area, but then also, too, you guys are getting some of the residual effect from the most recent storm that kind of came up through the Gulf of Mexico and the Panhandle. I'm surprised that it's hit you guys there, too, but you're dealing with it.
Oh, yeah, it's what we have to do. I mean, it's just the way things work. But Michael came through, dumped a bunch of rain, high winds. We've got, you know, trees that are, you know, been uprooted, and we've also got flooding in some of the low-lying areas. A lot of roads closed because the creeks are out of the banks and up over the bridges, and it's challenged the Carolinas once again. But wow, as everybody does in this great country we live in, you know, we rebound, and we'll figure out how to clean up the mess and proceed on. And I think the greatest thing about our country, and we see it now down in the eastern part of the Carolinas and as well as now in Florida, that, you know, we got a lot of great people that are coming together to help one another, from the Red Cross to MRO, you know, Darrell Waltrip's one of his favorite charities, to the Baptist Men, you name it. There are so many groups out there that are pulling together. I know Richard Childers Racing, they're raising and getting donations that their shops currently to take to wherever the hardest hit and where the most needed essentials, from toilet paper to water. So we're all pulling together for one another, and, you know, we'll get through this tough time, and we'll be better for it in the end.
Well, bless you guys for everything you guys are dealing with. We'll have some links up at WGNradio.com on ways that listeners can support a lot of those efforts. I know you got hit hard. You mentioned Michael, a kinder, gentler Michael, more cheerful and pleasant to be around typically, is Michael Waltrip. You guys just on Race Hub were talking a little bit about some of your playoff picks, and you had mentioned Brad Keselowski, and I was thinking about this. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. You know, you've got this big three that's been moving on through the season and into the playoffs, and they're certainly very, very strong. But you got a guy who's won a championship before in Brad, and you kind of picked him as one of those kind of picks to click, not only the super speedway, but maybe towards, as they get down the playoffs, contending for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, they've made some improvements. I mean, we've talked a lot this year about how strong the Ford contingent really was. And we were really focusing more on Stewart Haas Racing, especially being led by Kevin Harvick. But, you know, Kurt's had good runs, Clint Bowyer, even Eric Almirola, had got to victory lane, but he's been strong. But now, here as we got ready to go in the playoffs, Team Penske has picked their game up. They've gotten faster pit stops. I think they made better calls on pit road, and they're starting to find their way into becoming a serious, you know, we went from the big three, and now we're looking at the fearsome foursome, at least what, you know, my opinion is. And Brad happens to be the guy at the moment who's carrying the hot hand, and each and every time he shows up the racetrack, he's got a fast race car, he leads laps, and he puts himself in position to score points in the stages, as well as, you know, an opportunity to go to victory lane. So, good time of the year to be finding your way.
You mentioned that as far as like the entire team and how they've worked together, pulled together, and succeeded kind of as a team. How important is that, to have that perspective of having done it, knowing what it takes to win? You looked at it with, you know, Martin Truex Jr., such a great season, so stable last year. But, you know, at the end of the year, it was all one of those things. There's a lot of guys who have gone through the entire season, had great seasons, right, and finished second. How important is it to have, just in the back of your mind, the comfort of knowing what it takes to win a championship?
Well, it helps you kind of be a predictor, an anticipator, you might want to say, of what could happen. And when it does happen, you're not surprised by it. I mean, you understand the pressure that goes along with running for a championship. You realize you can't panic when something goes wrong. And I've been in that situation before where, you know, we were expected to win and something kind of happens, you know, with the flat tire or a problem on pit road. And how do you rebound from that to keep yourself either in contention for that final race, or if it is the final race, how do you anticipate getting back to finish up strong and possibly, you know, win your championship? So all these guys we're talking about currently have that experience. We mentioned Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch. These guys are very dangerous because you're not going to rattle them by playing head games. They've been there. They've done it. So these guys are the top of the class right now and will be hard to, I think, shake as we go through these very important races coming up. And as we get closer to Homestead, you want to wind up being in that Final Four, you're going to have to be perfect. And that's what it's going to take from here on out, is just don't make a mistake. I mean, don't beat yourself.
As a part of a lot of those conversations as we get towards the end of NASCAR season, typically Jimmy Johnson was in that conversation. And as things are changing, so many things are changing in the world of NASCAR, whether it's drivers coming and leaving and teams and sponsors and a lot of flux in there. And, you know, as Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson are splitting up, you know, NASCAR took some time to kind of put together some of the greatest crew chief driver combinations of all time. Of course, you know, you're right up there front and center, you know, as well with DW. Talk a little bit about that. Is there splitting them up? Is that they're just kind of calling it and maybe, I guess, understanding or just coming to terms with the fact that maybe Jimmy Johnson is maybe done as a competitive, at least championship competitive driver? And then you see other times where you had teams kind of break up and you've got those guys staying together, Martin Truex, Cole Pern, you know, they didn't break that up. That's obviously a great team. How important is that? And what does it mean, that whole crew chief and driver combo?
It means that you can listen to a driver's voice and tell how bad the car is or what kind of mood he is in. As a crew chief, that's your primary responsibility, is to be able to be inside that guy's head and inside his overall ability to handle the moment. And you've got to help him handle that, because you got to realize drivers are in there by themselves. And with the exception of the crew chief talking to him and his spotter, it's all on him. And we're part of a very intricate, I almost want to call it, the psychic part of it. It's almost like, you know, we have the ability to psychoanalyze this guy, you know, week in and week out, from the time he gets to the racetrack to the final practice on Saturday, and as he gets up Sunday morning, is his mind in the right place? Because everything centers around the driver. I mean, we talk about how good crew chiefs are and how good engines are, and we talk about how great the spotter is. But if you don't have the man behind the wheel that can get the job done, I don't care how good you got everything else, you're not going to go to victory lane. And I have been blessed of being around some of the best, and obviously, you know, Darrell and I were extremely close, and he is always going to be the top of my list. Right. I mean, but having worked with guys like Cale Yarborough, I had an opportunity to work, you know, with Terry Labonte for a short period of time, as well as with Kurt Busch. So when you're around these kind of drivers, including somebody like a Bobby Hamilton, you see what's in their heart and what's in their mind. And if you've got the one that's got the heart and mind that goes hand in hand with what you're doing with your race car, you got a winner. But they get their minds, you know, out of sorts from time to time. They feel like they're alone. They feel like they can't do it. And you've got to convince them that, no, you can do it. It's not over. Keep fighting. And you hear that from time to time from crew chiefs, and you hear that from time to time with spotters. It's all about the driver and keeping him believing in himself. He can basically, hey, stick your feet out the bottom like Fred Flintstone and get to running, man. You can do it. You can carry this thing. And that's what good race car drivers do. They put that car on their back, and they get it to victory lane.
Well, you know, it isn't always just about cheerleading. Certainly, you've got to be there as that voice of support and kind of help build that confidence. But they have to trust you, right? And you said that, too, is you've got to be able to kind of translate what it is that they do, some of their tendencies that may not be helpful, and kind of channel it into the positive stuff as well. But also, too, is you've got to, you know, dispense a little bit of tough love at times, too, right? Maybe kind of let them know what you know is best, because you're right in the heat of the moment, but you're in a little cooler place, a different perspective. You've got to convince them sometimes to not do maybe what they want to do.
Well, and that's part of that, and understanding when that time needs to be, because you can't just basically treat them like an old mule and hit them upside the head with a 2x4 to get their attention. You need to get their attention, but you have to do it in such a manner that it returns in a winning way. We've seen drivers and crew chiefs blow up on the radio, and you can't have that, because before too long, the trust and the belief and the patience that he needs with you also is gone, because you've tried to force it rather than trying to convince him that it's the right way to do it. So it's a fine line, and the guys that are good are exceptional, and they're the ones who have probably, you know, got the most championships, and they've got the most wins. And when you look at that graph that was built for Race Hub yesterday, it pretty much summed it up. the ones that can do this, the ones that can be fortunate enough to develop not only a great understanding of what they need mechanically, but what they also need mentally, so you can get the most out of them. And that's it. You know, it's like riding a good horse. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't need to always go to the whip. You show them the whip, but you don't have to always go to it. So I loved being a crew chief for that one reason. It was as big a challenge for me to make sure I was there for Daryl or for Terry or for Kurt or any of the drivers I worked for. It was a lot of fun to get to know them and to try to see what buttons you need to push to make it be successful. And, you know, I'm sorry to see, you know, Jimmy and Chad having this moment. I'm excited about the fact that they're not leaving Hendrick Motorsports. They're still going to have an opportunity to keep their friendship intact, because even when you leave a driver, I mean, I left Daryl and went, you know, several places in my career, but we always migrated back to one another, and I was blessed because I think of that friendship to be able to work with him now, you know, on television for almost the last 20 years.
Right.
And that's very important to me, and I think if you were watching the show last night and you listened to what was important to Chad, was not so much the wins of the championships, but it was the personal moments, whether it was his wedding or the birth of their children. You know, it becomes that kind of a friendship, that kind of a bond. That's what makes it special. That's what makes it really to the point of, no matter what you do or what you want to do or what I want to do, we can always be friends. And that is what I cherish the most about, you know, being in NASCAR. You can do that. You know, there's some drivers, you know, I've worked with, well, I could care less if I see them tomorrow. But there's a lot of them that I cherish their friendship as much as I did the opportunity to work with them and win races or have good days at the track.
Well, you can see, too, is when it's really done at the highest level and when that success is there, the crew chief and the driver are almost like one thing, right? It's kind of like this symbiotic being. There's like a mind meld that goes on, and it leads to a lot of fun and a lot of success. When you talk about fun, of course, Victory Lane, and you guys experienced as much of that as anyone. I want to let the listeners know we're talking with all-time great crew chief and Fox personality Jeff Hollywood Hammond. And so here's the other side of it. You have a very unique perspective, not only as a commentator, but a crew chief, been there through so many of those great periods of NASCAR, including today, but also as a team owner. You've been a team owner on the truck side as well. How do you make sense of a lot of the stuff? For us, a lot of our fans, a lot of the other commentators and people we talk to, they just can't make sense of it. The fact that you've got a Furniture Row Racing team that wins a championship, you've got one of the most popular, engaging personalities in the sport, Martin Truex Jr., and you can't make ends meet. Like, do you have any idea from the ownership side how to make that make sense? Because a lot of people, they just don't get it.
It's very difficult. I don't think a lot of people totally appreciate how close. I mean, everybody's got the perception these teams are profitable like an NFL team, and it's very difficult to do. Even when you're winning championships and winning multiple races with multiple drivers, the overall expense for engineering as well as personnel and keeping that up to so you can be at the top of the food chain, you might say, is a daily challenge. And he just decided, I've won a championship, I've won races, I've proven my point that I can race out of Denver, Colorado and be successful. I am not going to give up what I've built trying to hang on here and hopefully find a sponsorship. You would think that someone who had won a championship and as popular as Martin Truex, it would be easy to do. But we've also seen where Jimmy Johnson, a seven-time champion,
right.
has struggled to get sponsorship. So currently our sport is being faced with, I think, a redefining and reshaping of the business model. And unfortunately for Barney Visser, his only option at that time was to kind of like, okay, let it go, walk away, and just be thankful I had the ability to be successful.
Oh, and it was exciting, too. You know, the fans loved it. You never know what's going to happen down the road as well. And, you know, with every kind of story that's got sort of a curious, sort of sad twinge to it, you've got some really positive things. You mentioned Stuart Haas. And you look at that lineup and Arik Almirola being added in there right there, and you look at that top 10 as far as the standings now, and it's all Stuart Haas. You know, it's those Fords. And when you look at, you know, Hendricks maybe kind of, you know, constricting a little bit as far as from the successes that they had for so long with all those different drivers. Is Stuart Haas kind of like the new Hendricks? Are they like the new superpower in NASCAR?
It's a great debate when you start looking at that, because you can't ignore, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing has still got a, you know, great lineup, and they've had a pretty good year, especially with Kyle. Team Penske is starting to find their way. Now they've got all three of their drivers and been to victory lane, and they're making noise. So Chip Ganassi with Kyle Larson also. I mean, it's hard for me to always choose favorites. Now, looking at the numbers, looking at it by the numbers, then yes, you're exactly right. But when you think about sustainability and keeping this thing going for multiple years, that's where the challenge really comes, I think, into play. As we saw this past year when Chevrolet introduced the new Camaro, Chevrolet as a whole has struggled. Next year, the new Mustang's coming out for the Ford camp. Can they repeat what they've been able to this season and get that car balanced and keep it to where it can be competitive? Because they can also go into a dark hole that they missed something in the development of this car. And a lot of times once you develop it, you know, NASCAR says, okay, there it is, you got to race it. And so it's going to be interesting to see how 2019 kind of goes. But if Stuart Haas is able to come back out and flex their muscle, then, you know, once again, I'd have to say that, yeah, they are now currently one of the primo teams because they have been able to not only win with all their with three out of the four of their drivers, but they've also been able to get guys that are run competitively and are up in the points continuously each and every week. And they got speed in their race cars, what I'm trying to say. And speed in race cars are usually attention getters, because if you got speed in your race car, sooner or later you'll figure out a handling combination that allows you to take advantage of that speed, which means that allows you to go to victory lane.
Yeah, and you get those talented drivers too, and they say it to a person how excited they are to race those cars, how it gives them a chance to succeed and have fun each and every week. Well, it comes to with a lot of the success, you get a lot of the marketing side, and this is again Jeff Hammond, another unique perspective that you have, Jeff Hammond's store, right? So whoever is successful out there, including those Stuart Haas folks and all the different race teams and drivers, you've got your own store, so you see things on the marketing side. I know when they said when Dale Jr. retired that 6 out of the 10 top diecast cars and on the memorabilia side were Dale Jr. cars. What are some of the trends now? And talk a little bit about the Jeff Hammond store and how people can get a hold of some of that cool stuff to support their teams.
Yeah, we're very blessed that myself and Jason Westmoreland, we run an acrylic display case stores, and we make everything from race car diecast 24-41 scale, what do you call it, as well as race helmets, both the big ones, full size, as well as the mini helmets. We can do baseball display cases. We got a lot of people who want to save those home run balls, yep. Bats, guitar display cases. We've got cases we can build specially to display your favorite firearm, if that be a case like a antique rifle, but you don't want people touching, but you want them to be able to look at it. Or all the way down, just like this first of the week, we made a belt buckle case for a big rodeo over in Franklin, Tennessee, of all places. Nice. They asked us to send it. And so if you are into the rodeo side or have any kind of belt buckles or rocks, we can build a display case for it. It doesn't matter. Just like in your case, you may have a golden microphone. We can turn right around and put that golden microphone under an acrylic case so you don't have to worry about dusting it every week and make it look really great. We have standard stuff we build, but we specialize in specialty cases. And last year this time, I just talked with a gentleman in Charlotte. He has some special memorabilia from the original Enola Gay crew. Had that decisive moment in World War II. So he built, I think it was a B-29 bomber, and we put it in the display case for him and all this memorabilia that came with it. And very, very proud of that display, because he wanted to put it on there on show for people that came to his house and going to certain military functions, but he just makes sure nobody could just kind of walk away with it either. So, yeah, we can build anything. So if you're really interested in getting something built, please reach out to us at jeffhammondstore.com and get in touch with myself or Jason, and we'll be glad to hook you up.
Wow. We'll have the link up at WGNradio.com for that as well. I am years away from deserving a golden microphone, but I appreciate the inspiration and everything from your favorite memorabilia and all your sports stuff that you want all the way to historical artifacts.
Hey, we can take your baby shoes or your you know, whatever, you know, you name it, anything you want. All you got is think about it, and we'll make it.
Wow, wow, and to have Jeff Hammond involved in the process, I think, is exciting for a lot of fans, too. So before we let you go, we know how to get to jeffhammondstore.com. We'll put that on there, but social media-wise, as you're kind of dispensing your insight as we head towards the championship and, of course, all the other things that you're doing related to NASCAR and racing, your social media, how can people keep up with you?
All you got to do is go to Hollywood Jeff, as far as Twitter is concerned, And I've also got a new Facebook site, and it's H3 Arena. H3 Arena. We've got a lot of team roping stuff coming up here at my facility, and keeps everybody kind of in the loop as far as what's going on here and on our cattle ranch in here in North Carolina. We run about 150 head of Corriente and Texas Longhorns crossed, and have a lot of fun here, playing around the backyard in our arena and putting on events, you know, from team roping to barrel racing and possibly, you know, some breakaway roping for girls.
Okay, he is doing so many different things, including being the all-time great crew chief and one of those great voices for NASCAR on Fox. Jeff Hammond, thanks so much for what you're doing. Going to let you get back to the backyard, and thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Hey, great, great privilege. Because again, I know we got a lot of wonderful fans up there, and I hope they'll stay tuned in, watch us on Race Hub, listen to us on PRN as well as MRN. And NBC as far as the remainder of the season. So hopefully we're going to finish really strong with a real exciting finish to the championship. Hopefully we'll talk maybe going into Homestead again before the end of the season.
Absolutely. We'll do that as part of our championship preview as well. Jeff, thanks so much, and have a great rest of your weekend.
All right. Thank you very much.